What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93. That was loud for no reason. Today's episode is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and Go2Go Press. I low-key just stabbed myself with a pen. So if you wonder what that sound was, that was that. I'm joined here by the man that just came back from vacation. He got a little bit darker, a little bit more glistening.
Just a little bit. It was a lot of cloudy days.
Shanair Duran II. What's going on, boss?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good.
So, did you get a chance to watch our nil-nil exciting game over FC Tucson?
Yeah. It was... I'm torn about this game. I'm torn between encouraged and frustrated.
Okay. Well, all right, let me hear. Okay, let's go by it. Why are you frustrated?
So many chances. So many chances to put this game to bed from minute one.
That's true. I think so Gallardo had a chance in like the fourth minute?
Gallardo had two chances that he should have buried. Well, one of them, if he had buried it, it probably would have been goal of the week. But that one where it goes over the defender and he runs in behind, it's him and the keeper, and he kicks it right at him.
I think, okay, on that one, I think he got it in his head. Because you can see, like, he takes the... It's almost like that moment when you don't realize, like, I'm open, but am I really open? Like, you ever seen in the NBA when, like, someone gets past the ball for a three and they're like...
No one's here?
Nope. You sure? maybe I shouldn't take... I'll take the three. Like, the Ron Artest moment of, like, I heard my coach say, don't shoot the three, but I shot it anyway, and it went in. Like, that's where I think, like, Joey G was at. Like, almost that moment of, well, I got the ball. Am I onside? All right, maybe I'll try to slide it in behind and catch the goalkeeper off guard. And Edumadu, he's one of the better keepers in the league at coming off his line. He's shown that there.
Oh, he made himself huge.
Yeah, he made a big play.
Yeah.
All right, and you said, I mean, you of course frustrated, but I'm more of the positive note of this game. I've seen things from this game that made me optimistic for the future.
Oh, yeah.
I can see a lot of improvement compared to last week where we were both like, you sure you want to keep doing this podcast? So now where it's like, all right. So I believe, and I got to go back and check the stats. I do believe this is the first game that Richmond led a team in shots outside of the Virginia United game. I think this is the first game we led in shots. I might not be 100% certain on that. Maybe another game I'm not 100% sure. But I do not remember a game where from minute one we're taking shots.
Yeah.
The 70th minute.
We stepped into their face early. And that was very encouraging.
Oh, yeah.
That was extremely encouraging to see. To see those, I mean, basically.
It was. And I mean, it was a very open game. Let's not get it twisted. Like, it was a sloppy game. Both teams, if Richmond gets one pass here, it's a goal. If Tucson gets one pass here, it's a goal. If a carrier of Edumadu doesn't make a finger save here or a save here, it's a goal there. Don't get it wrong. It was a sloppy game, but it was an exciting game to see. It is the game that kind of gives you, like, you can pull positives from it. Because, one, we saw what we were asking for. What's the next step in the formation? We saw that with the mix of long and short passing.
Yes.
We saw the center backs, Shinonsky and Akwe, which...
Yes.
I have to applaud.
They were absolute... They were perfect, both of them. They did a good job this game. They killed it.
They did a good job.
They shut everything down. Even though, yes, Fitzgerald had to make some saves.
Yeah.
But they gave him kind of a slow day because of how well they were defending.
So Richmond had 11 shots of goal to 9 from FC Tucson. I'm just proud.
Yeah. Because
I'll be honest with you, like, how many games have you been to where kickers have 2 or 3 or 4 shots of goal? And we're like,
I mean, and
guys, come on.
And you guys talked about it on the defensive side of things. You guys talked about it. You and Ted talked about it last week. How the individual mistakes. And I think after the game, we talked about how there are individual mistakes, yes, but there's also not team accountability for those mistakes.
Yeah.
There's not players trying to cover for a teammate that made a mistake. Not yesterday. Not against Tucson. So, I mean, yes, Akira made some saves, but there were a lot of heroic blocks too.
Oh,
coming coming after one of our players made a mistake. Now they're in behind, and someone just comes flying out of nowhere
like,
and just
for instance, Maxi.
Maxi.
Okay, let's talk about the play. So, my version of it, Akwe has the ball to his left, and mm-hmm. I believe Akwe wants to play it down the line to Joey G.
Yep.
But I think he takes a bad touch. Mm-hmm. So now he has to overplay the ball. The Tucson defender kind of gets underneath him, and Akwe gets pushed out of bounds, yeah. and he's not able to make that recovery run.
Yeah.
Behind to kind of cut off the FC Tucson player, so that another FC Tucson player is able to run onto it, cut into the box, and here comes Maxi out of like left field, just slides
flying
in.
Through.
And at first, I cringed up because I was like, "Oh snap, that's another yellow." Maxi gets a red. We're going down. That's a pin. How? And then I'm like, "Oh no, that was a smart play. Good job, Maxi."
No, just dove for it and just stuck his foot.
Yeah,
in front
but
of
I'm
it.
Saying like. You can see that was brilliant. That was a true commitment to defense.
A true commitment to bailing your teammate out.
Yeah.
A true commitment to playing for each other.
Now, granted, like we said, the game was still sloppy.
It was sloppy.
We should have done better, but
I mean,
to have Rodriguez coming back, making that play was smart.
Yes. And I mean, just also playing for each other. That yellow card that Maxi got, I'll take that yellow card all day.
Well, yeah,
because that yellow card was a statement. Because the ref had missed a foul just before on, I think it was Joey G who had the ball.
Yeah.
And this kid came in completely out of control and literally took Joey G out.
So, remember the last time we played FC Tucson? And we were like, yo, FC Tucson was like mad physical.
Yeah.
This game, I think, was even more physical. I think this is the thing you're going to see every time we play FC Tucson.
Oh,
it's
going to
be a very physical game. It was 21 fouls in the game. 11 for Richmond alone, 10 for FC Tucson, 3 yellow cards.
And I think this game was a statement. And
as much as I love Ekinrode, hey, look, don't. Homeboy. You remember the end of play in the 90th minute? Where Ekinrode made the play, and then the center back for SC Tucson
ran. Bautista, that tall lady.
Ran all the way up the field to get an Ekinrode face. And I don't know what Ekinrode said. He probably said something hilarious, knowing him. But yeah, like, you could just tell, like, this game was on edge. It was a physical game.
Yeah.
It looked...
I mean, I feel in that situation...
There's some bad blood on the field between
us. There was a lot of bad blood, and I think it started with that yellow card for Maxi. Because Maxi basically made a statement and said, don't take my player out like that, because I will body you.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the end of the day, yes, a lot of people will say, oh, that's dirty play. No, sometimes you got to let them know, y'all want to play physical? Can you take your own medicine?
Yeah.
Basically, Richmond Kickers ask the questions, can you take your own medicine?
Yeah. And I think this game asked a lot of questions of Richmond as well. And I think Richmond answered them. I wouldn't say great. I think they answered them well. Enough to be like...
To be right. Convincing.
To be convincing, yeah. Because like FC Tucson, for instance, was keen on winning the area battle.
Well, I mean, when you got someone like Bautista, who's freaking almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah, that's also true.
That dude was a pole.
And he just came down from LAFC.
Yeah.
Which is weird. SC Tucson had 26 crosses. It went to 57% of the area bounce. So you can tell, like, the whole strategy, nothing changed from when we played them before.
Yeah.
It's not like they went back and be like, all right, that didn't work. Let's go do this. No, it was, we're still going to be crossing the ball in. Can you be dominant with us in the air and beat us? Richmond was like, all right, you want to play that game? We'll have the stingy defense. And we pretty much had 17 clearances. And tackle them 67% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, we had the higher tackle rate. So.
It was a very good performance from front to back. One player who really stood out to me, surprisingly, was Greg Bing.
All right. So before we go into that, do you want to go over how the roster looked?
I mean, yes. Yes.
Because that was the thing that when I saw it, I was like,
what's going on?
If I see this roster week in, week out, this is something I can get behind.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it answered a lot of the questions that we had. Yeah. Like, not even one, what's the next step, but can Joey G's been getting marked out of games. So, all right, where do we put Joey G at next? Okay. We need a true striker. We know it's not Boateng because he's too young. Jackson's been okay, but he hasn't been game-breaking.
Yeah.
We've seen Chen. Chen's been probably our best striker, but he's been playing the wing.
Yeah.
All right, and then Hughes probably needs a break, so let's see what Ratcliffe can do. And it answered a lot of questions I feel good about. Also, about our center back pair. I think we probably have our best center back pair.
Yeah. No, seriously, we do. Because with every center back pairing, you want a level head who's not as mobile and the workhorse.
We'll let you figure out who is who.
So, for example, if you were to look at a team like Liverpool, their level-headed leader is Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
He's big, dominating, smart. But then you have Joel Matip or Lovren, who are the workhorses, who run around, who act almost like a second CDM when we're defending. So we have that balance with Szynoski and Akwe. Because Akwe, man, that dude's all over the place. He's everywhere. And sometimes you'd be like, ooh, is he out of position? Nope, he's not. He's just everywhere.
I mean, and I got to say, Rossov did a very good job at that CDM position.
He did.
Along with Max. Because I think that gave Max... Because we didn't see a whole lot. I didn't. Maybe you did. I didn't see a whole lot of the Max would drop back in the center backs. I didn't see a whole lot much. Of that. But what I did see was, it was kind of... Now, in the first half, I didn't see it so much. There was gaps in between the back four and the CDMs. And I think in the second half, they kind of pretty much tightened it up a little bit. It still could have been worked on, but I believe they tightened it up a little bit. But I think Ratcliffe did a good job of being that connecting piece between Maxi and Greg.
Yes.
And then also being the person that could distribute it out to Joey G, distribute it out to Mbappe, while allowing Maxi to do what he does best, and that's patrol that back four.
Yeah. I mean,
because I think if Ratcliffe isn't doing that job, then I don't think you have Maxi making the play he did in the second half of him sliding in.
Yeah, which, to cover.
I mean, granted, as a defender, you never want to be sliding in your own penalty box.
Yeah.
But he's not able to make that play if he's not freed up by Ratcliffe.
Yes. Yeah. So they did very well together. They worked very well together. I feel that Thompson and Lockerbie were, as usual, you know, good with the overlap, good with sitting back and having a back four when we needed to defend, trying to give them a hard time when they were trying to cross, especially when you have someone with pace like Lockerbie and someone with experience like Thompson, that they can cover those angles and make sure that they have to work for every cross.
Yeah. So real quick on Nick. His numbers for the game, he had 64 passes. He had a pass accuracy of 85%. 72% of that in the opponent's half. So it wasn't like, you know, how we always hear, pass it back to the center backs, pass it back to the football. It was aggressive style play. He had 5 long balls, 59 of them short. He won 10 duels, but he lost 12. But he won 10.
Yeah.
he won 4 of his aerial duels, but he lost 3. So that's what I mean. Like, you could tell he was that extra piece that Maxi needed.
Yeah.
And it worked well. He's a player that I think if you give me a mix between him and Hughes, I think that's a good pairing for Maxi to have.
Yeah.
I think that's a good pairing.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it just, from back to front, everyone worked hard. Everyone pushed. Everyone gave their all. And I think one of the biggest concerns before the game, and I think I heard the commentator talking about, Buell was concerned about, was...
Okay, can I just ask you a question? Was it just me, or did the commentator for like the first 10, 15 minutes was like mad negative about everything?
Yeah.
Like, everything? Yeah. Like, I was just like, yo, I, like, can you at least make me Debbie Downer on here. I know my team's lost 4 straight, but I don't need every negative stat in the world. Well, yeah. Oh, you can continue. That just irritated me.
No, I feel you. I feel you. But here's the thing, though. There was a lot of moments in this game where you saw players really make a name for themselves. And I personally think that that game made things a lot more difficult for Buelow because of how certain players who normally don't start, who normally don't play that much, performed. Ekinrode's performance, Greg's performance, Pavone's performance. Those players, they you rarely see them. I mean, the normal lineup, we're usually having, you know, the usual guys out there. Those guys are usually coming off the bench if they are. But for Buelow to give them the chance and give them the start, I mean, they took that opportunity and they ran with it. Yeah. They ran with it.
And also another player who had another solid performance, Lockerbie.
Like just another solid consistency.
With like it.
Just consistency.
I mean, honestly, I'm not afraid to take it. And if you want to tweet me, you definitely can. My DMs are always open. But I'm afraid, I'm prepared to stand on this hill. Lockerbie has the right back position locked down. That's it.
He's got it locked. He's got it locked.
That's it.
I agree. I agree. I fully agree.
Like that is his position. it is Lockerbie's to lose.
Yeah.
Because of the style of what... I mean, we were talking a bit earlier before we started recording about how certain players perform well in a system. Mm-hmm. And when you change that system, that player that you might have thought of like being world class is now average.
Yeah, because it's not the same system.
And this is a system I think gets the best, out of Lockerbie.
Mm-hmm.
It allows him to not only get up forward and be attacking. He doesn't do a lot of crosses from what I've seen, but he's able to get inside the box and kind of almost play as like as a second winger. I'm probably making up a new position, but he works really well at that. But then it also allows him to be defensive at the same time and be like, look, you got to lock down. He does a real good job of locking down that right side.
Yeah. Yeah, and his mobility and endurance to be able to get up and back throughout the entire game, just putting pressure on the other team. It's like, you just stopped us from crossing. Now you're about to score on us.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's awesome the way he does it. He's performed very well at that position.
Another player who, I'm not gonna lie, like, kind of impressed me. I mean, he didn't really have really any impactful plays or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke Pavone is someone who I'm like, yeah, if Chen can't be our number one striker, and I understand we have Jackson, I would like to see Pavone kind of coming off the bench for Chen.
He
was tenacious.
He was.
He was running to everyone, chasing our balls, getting after it. I believe he was a substitution for Chen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was really aggressive at how he went at the back four, trying to get balls off of him, trying to get after it. I mean, I might be totally wrong, and I'm probably in my head thinking that he played striker when he probably didn't. But if he's someone that I'm like, yeah, put him up there and let's see what he does, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. Totally, I mean, he has the work rate. He works. He hustles. If you want to press, he's the guy to send after them to put the back line on their heels and make them second guess themselves.
Yeah.
Because when you've got Pavone flying at you, you're like, wait, what?
I imagine Pavone is like, I imagine Buelow telling Pavone, hey, look, this is all I need you to do. I need you to go in there and cause a bunch of chaos.
Yes. Just
don't do nothing else.
Fox among the chickens. Yes. Just
look, you see that strike? You see that defender? Go after him. Attack him. And only him. That's what you tell Pavone.
Yeah. And he did it well. He went out there and just made a nuisance of himself.
He did.
That's one thing I really like. When you see players who make a nuisance of themselves to the other team. Because that just makes the other team be like, really? Can I get a moment to breathe? And it's like, no, you can't. No. I'm not going to let you.
I know USL League One just did their thing. They did their, I think, mid-season-ish kind of like,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, awards. And they had Kara Fitzgerald as for goalkeeper. After this game, Akira deserves it.
Definitely. Oh,
Josh, you see one save he had where he, like, literally, it was a knuckleball. It was coming to his right, and he had to, like, punch it away to his left. Like, he had so... I mean, look, after last week, people were saying, do we need to see Joe Rice in goal? Do we need to see Matt Broomall?
No.
Akira shows you why he is our number one.
Yeah. He showed you.
He showed you why.
I mean, the only reason why Phillip...
5 clean sheets, second in the league in clean sheets.
The only reason why Phillip got man of the match, according to Foot Mob, is because he had to make more saves than Akira did. But the saves that Akira made showed you, look, you're not getting anything past me easy.
No.
I mean, you could see, on both sides, both goalkeepers basically are the reason why this game was 0-0.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, all right, so let me ask you the question. We saw it a lot on the Facebook group. Where do you stand on either playing the ball short or playing the ball long off of a free kick? We'll ask the question on Twitter. Will the goalkeeper's kicking the ball? We'll ask the question on Twitter to give you guys' opinion, but I wanted to ask you first, how do you feel about it? Do you think it's a situational type thing where if the defenders are playing kind of that intermediate space between the halfway marker and the 18-yard box, you can play it short? Or if it's all the time, we got to play it short because this is something we're trying to instill? Or do you think it's one of those things where we got to play it long because we don't want pressure in our own 18-yard box?
I think it's a situational thing. And I'm personally a big advocate. This is one of the reasons why a lot of the kids that play for me when I coach are extremely challenged, is because there are no absolutes with me. You know the saying, people say, never pass the ball across your own, in front of your own goal. Never do this. There's no nevers in soccer. Because you see, for example, in the game, against Tucson, kickers had several situations where they had pressure out on the wing, and they passed the ball back across their goal to the far center back. Why? Because the space was there to do so. It's all situational. So if, for example, the other team, they come at you, they miss a shot, goes out for a goal kick, and they all drop back, play it to the center back or play it to the fullback and let's push up. Or force them to come to you so then there's space behind.
I feel like I'm about to get a lot of angry. My Twitter probably is going to blow up after this podcast, but that's fine. That's why I mute my Twitter after 10 o'clock. I disagree slightly, and listen to what I say first before you come at me. I believe that if you have a style of play, steady play. So if your style of play is, we're playing it short.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you stick with it because, one, not only are you instilling that confidence in the team. Like, remember Pep Guardiola his first year where Claudio Bravo looked terrified, like a deer in headlights, to play the ball short? But Pep was like, keep doing it because that's what we're trying to get better at.
Yeah.
I do believe there are ways to alleviate it. And I believe Coach Buelow did that, where instead of just having the two fullbacks out on the side of the 18-yard box and just one person in the middle, I think now what he's done is kind of like a weird M, where now he has a fullback on one side of the 18-yard box, another fullback here, one center back in the middle to kind of be like, hey, I'm here just in case you do want to play the quote-unquote long ball, another CDM, and then another center back in the middle just to deal with the striker.
Yeah.
And want to play short. I think the thing that goes wrong with us playing it long is it doesn't fit the style. It doesn't fit the overall style of what you want to play. Because if you're telling your team, hey, we're possession, we want to keep it on the ground, we don't want to get an aerial challenge with a team like Tucson, you're kind of playing the FC Tucson hand, like what the stats show. So the way you beat a team like FC Tucson is go to their least comfortable wolf. FC Tucson does not look comfortable at all on keeping the ball on the ground. It's almost like Lansing. Lansing hate having the ball at their feet. But the moment you tell Lansing, hey, you can counter and you can press, they look comfortable. So I think
that's true, but I agree with you. And I saw that the M.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is unless you literally push everyone to crowd that area, is hard to really press against. So if Akira wants to give it to any of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players, then that system works. But then what do you do if, for example, they try to sneak up? And guess what? Joey G's out here on the left side, and the fullback that was marking him tried to cheat forward in case you tried to pass it to the to the center midfielder that he's closest to. So then, long ball and Joey G's by himself. But then
it comes back to the long point of, we just said it, FC Tucson center backs are what, trees back there? And Joey G's the size of me.
But look what happened when Shinovsky hit that long ball and it went right over Batista's tall head. Yeah,
but see, that,
that's, Joey G's right there in the position.
That, to me, I believe that is a different circumstance. I mean, granted, now, a free kick, we're talking about a one-off play where, granted, the goalkeeper has the ball. It's kind of like a dead ball situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the same argument we have with short corners and long corners. I can see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on the players that you have. So if Richmond is trying to be this technical team that wants to keep the ball on the ground, a long ball doesn't work because you don't have the players that are aerial
But that's the thing. You don't need, in certain situations, you don't need aerial prowess. You just need pace in behind, and we have that. Like, you put the ball out wide to Mwape or Joey G, and the ball goes over the fullback's heads. Now you've got tall, lanky, slow center backs trying to cover the ground and go wide, leaving the middle wide open. The ball's going to get to Mwape before the center back can get there. He's too tall and slow.
Who wins the knockdown? You can't.
What do you mean, who wins the knockdown? No, this is going overhead. But so, how many times? And in that situation, the situation we talked about, Joey G, the ball, he doesn't knock it down. It goes over his head and he runs onto it.
But how many times is that ball truly getting over the top? You're asking for. I mean, it's all.
It depends on the situation. I feel like. It depends on the situation. And that's why I feel that you have a system. I guess I'm
more short pass leaning.
Like, yes, more I want the short pass. I want the short pass. I like the short, quick tiki-taka. I like the short, quick tiki-taka passing. But if there's an opening, it's like, for example, if you have a team you're coaching, kids. The biggest no-no for me, and I feel like smacking another coach upside the head when they're practicing and they're scrimmaging. And the coach,
by the way, we don't advertise violence.
No. No, we don't. No, we don't.
We don't advertise violence.
For another coach to say, oh, you have to make 7 passes before you can score. So this
sounds like the basketball term where you got to make 5 passes before you can shoot.
Exactly. And that. And now, what if pass number 3... I'm in front of goal, and the goalie's out of position. So I still have to pass the ball, even though I have an open shot on net.
Yeah.
So these are the things you don't want the system to kind of handicap the players.
That's right.
You need, yes, you have a system, but don't turn it into football or basketball. You need creativity. You need the sporadic. You need the improvisation. Because that's what makes soccer, soccer.
That's true. That's true. Like I said, I think I'm more situation leaning towards short passes because of the system that kicks in and the players that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this is last year's team, I'm like, yeah, long ball.
Yeah, hit it long.
Because we had long ball all day long. Because we had trees.
Exactly.
That's what we had. We had players that could get up there and get a header. But then we couldn't play it on the ground. We're crap. So it's like, give or take. All right. That's just me. We'll ask a question to y'all on Twitter and see how y'all think about it. But let me ask you this. Overall, do you feel like it's a point earned or 2 points dropped? In the overall basis of the game, you look at it, taking everything in.
I'm going to have to lean more towards a point earned, especially after the streak of losses we've gone through.
We actually agreed on something.
Yeah. Yeah, because after what we've had to deal with North Texas and that streak of road losses going down the East Coast. To get a shutout, to keep a team out of our goal, and to have created so many chances, I'll take that point.
Yeah.
I'll take that point any day.
Yeah. I have to do this with a slight remembrance that it was a sloppy game. Any goal could have gone in, but what I saw tactics-wise, and what I also saw from the team going forward makes me feel happy about an upcoming game that we're going to talk about after this ad break. There's another ad read, but something that is very important. The River City Red Army is partnering with Diversity Richmond to support local LGBTQ community here in the city. The Red Army prides itself on fostering an environment that welcomes all individuals to our section. For every goal scored by the Richmond Kickers in the month of June, five possible matches, I believe, they're going to pledge a few dollars per goal that will go to support Diversity Richmond. Diversity Richmond envisions a community where LGBTQ plus citizens are treated with respect and dignity, and their unique gifts are championed and celebrated, thereby strengthening our community. So, if you want to go help support, go to Pride Razor. We'll be down in the comments below. You can check out there. Click on the link there and go support. So, hopefully, the Kickers score a ton of goals, so you can pretty much bankrupt the Red Army. That's what you want to happen. All right?
All right. So, our upcoming game is against... I guess League One was the making of my rival. I feel like they're our rival because we played them the most time. Mm. But it's Chattanooga Red Wolves. I almost said Chattanooga FC, and I know I would have gotten into so much trouble on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so Chattanooga Red Wolves. So their past game this weekend against FC, I mean not FC, God, I'm mixing up all the teams, against Tormenta was postponed this following week.
Yeah.
Weather delays happened, so, you know, we're used to those.
Yeah, this past couple of weeks there's been a bunch of crazy, violent, spotty thunderstorms flying all over the place.
I don't know what y'all doing to Mother Nature, but she don't like y'all.
I know.
I don't know what y'all be doing. But, yeah, in their last game against Toronto FC the following weekend, they drew the game in the 84th minute on a goal by Colin Beverly?
It was I a thought 2-2 you were going to say Colin Farrell.
Look, if Colin Farrell is playing soccer, we have another host of questions. Yeah. If Colin Farrell is playing U.S. soccer, you can't imagine the outrage be, like, if he was on the U.S. men's national team. It would be some kind of funny outrage. Like, I feel like there would be, like, this...
He's not even American!
Yeah, I feel like there would be, like, this weird meme that U.S. soccer would put out, and it would irritate all of U.S. soccer, by the way, which has been...
Already pissed off.
Oh, yeah. They... Woo! My boy. You talk about a Twitter spear that is either, like, angrily pissed off, nonchalant, or, like, eh? Woo! All right, we're not going to talk about that. Not like, we'll talk about it after this. Maybe so, I've changed my mind. So, their home record, going back to the Red Wolves, their home record is 3 wins, 2 draws, and they've scored 9. They haven't lost at home yet. All their losses come on the road.
Mm.
So, home-wise, we're going into a team that's locked down. Like, hey, we got 3 wins at home. We don't lose here. And I believe the road has been our demon so far.
We've only have 1 win away.
Yeah.
I don't know. We do need to take into account the kind of slowdown. Because after that whirlwind of... Weekend game, midweek game, all of them away.
all of them home. We got like the weirdest schedule. We played a team 3 times
because after that Virginia United game, it was literally a game every 3 or 4 days away.
Yeah.
And it's like, except for the North Texas game.
Yeah.
And it's like you could see the legs and the mind starting to go. As they were progressing down
the coast. As
the temperature rose and they went south.
They were like,
the brains went south too.
Can't do this.
So I think with that and with the way they performed against Tucson and the way they got in Tucson's face, they showed them that we can go toe-to-toe physically with a team that's as physical as Tucson.
Yeah.
We're not intimidated by their giants of center backs. We're not... intimidated by how aggressively they play. We showed them that we can get scrappy too. I think that's a boost for them. And also seeing certain players perform well that normally either are sitting on the bench or come off the bench,
putting pressure on players that normally start, I see everybody picking it up a notch. And I think we can give Chattanooga.
I just messed up horribly. So I thought this game was at Chattanooga. It's actually in Richmond.
That's even better.
So Chattanooga has not won a game on the road so far this year. They have one draw and four losses with two goals scored and nine goals conceded. They have the worst away record in the league. Richmond, by the way, if you want to know, at home are 2-2-2. Seven goals scored, eight goals conceded. Pretty much a well-balanced record at home.
And to be honest with you, six of those goals came from... five of those goals came from Lansing.
Yeah. Yeah. So... this is going to be one of those weird anomaly games. Because I feel like you can go either way. I feel like this is like the FC Tucson game, where it's like you can go either way in this matchup. Because, I mean, like, the players to look out for Chattanooga is Stephen Beatty. He has three goals and one assist so far. The funny thing about him, he scored every goal with his right foot. Akwe, if you are listening... Force him to his left.
Just force him to Chinovsky. His left. Chinovsky. He'll be all right.
Force him to his left.
He'll be all right. Yep.
Imre Zayat, who, by the way, his brother plays for the two team. I think he just scored this following week. I was seeing that on Twitter. But he has four goals and one assist so far this year, too. But he scored two of his goals came in the last three games. So he's kind of in good form against Greenville and Ford. And then Zaganel Zegaru, who, in my opinion, outside of... Terrence Muhammad, I believe that's his name, for Toronto FC is arguably one of the best left backs in League One right now. For a left back, he has four assists. He leads the team in assists. And also he leads the team with four yellow cards so far this year.
Okay. In their past, another thing we do need to look at is Chattanooga in their past four games have had three different formations.
Yeah. So it's a lot of...
They played 4-4-2, they played 4-3-3, they played 4-2-3-1. And Tucson, a team who I can say after these two games against them, the 2-0 win and this 0-0 draw, we know how to deal with Tucson. Yeah. We know how to deal with them. They beat Chattanooga 4-0. Even though it was at home for Tucson and Chattanooga struggles away, again, this is another away game for them.
And I think the thing with Chattanooga, what they struggle with, and if you watch Chattanooga Hall, I believe a lot of people would agree with it, they are one of the older teams in USL League One.
Yep.
But also, they don't have a defined style of play. Like, I believe a lot of their play goes through Beatty and Zayed, and if that doesn't work, then it's kind of just like, all right, what do we do now? Like, it's not that...
Shut them down, and then it's...
I haven't seen the next level step for them. One thing I am looking forward to in this game, of course, the Kickers will be back at home. I won't be in the game because my wife's best friend is expecting her baby girl. So I have to go be a good husband and go on the road.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you know? Adult stuff. So I won't be in the game. But one thing I will be looking forward to seeing is, do we see... The way how we played this FC Tucson game, granted you clean some things up, I think the back four needs to push up higher just to make sure that they're not getting in behind the midfield and you're kind of just relying on Chinovsky and Awkward to make those last ditch plays and stuff like that. By the way, Awkward save, the goal line clearing. My boy. Congrats. He proved why he is Defender of the Year.
Defender of the Year.
Even though he had...
I give it to him, too.
The boneheaded play, he proved why he is Defender of the Year.
He's Defender of the Year to me. Yeah. I mean, at least so far. He's composed. He's strong. He's quick. He can get up there. You saw some of those battles with Batista off of Tucson's corners. Him just saying, no, you're not getting to this one. I know you're probably a good, 5-6 inches taller than me.
I feel like Akwe is like our Kawhi Leonard. Like, we tell him, like, look, go guard him.
Yep.
Shut him down.
And he will do it.
He will do it.
He will do it.
That's what I felt like he's like. Oh, but back to the Chattanooga game. I had to mention it because I didn't want to do this podcast without mentioning it. Because that was one of the best plays I've seen from the weekend. I wonder if he could get saved for the week from that. He probably should.
I don't think he can because he's not a goalkeeper. Goalie, so, yeah.
But he should. He should.
Have they put out the team of the week yet or no?
Nah, I think that comes out tomorrow. I imagine you see Aquay on it.
You have to.
I imagine. You see Aquay or Shinovsky. I believe you see one of those two on it. But back to the Chattanooga game.
That's a tough choice.
Yeah. Back to the Chattanooga game. I would love to see us not only perfect the style that we had, the kind of long mix of long and short passes.
Mm-hmm.
I would also love seeing Joey G and Wapi out on the wings. I think those are the best positions. I understand the argument of wanting to put Joey G in the middle, but what we have seen is that it's easy to mark Joey G out of games.
In the middle.
Yeah. So if you allow him to put him out of the wings and allow Greg to kind of be the number 10.
Yeah.
Not a lot of eyes on Greg, and then it allows Greg to make those connecting balls.
Yeah, it allows them to make those connecting balls and make those runs. He almost had a goal against Tucson.
Yeah.
That one chance where he comes flying in the bus.
And there's not too many players that can stick with Joey G when he is doing the tricks and skill moves. Like, you saw the one move that he did where he kind of like juggled it to himself and took the shot?
Oh, man.
He scores that.
If he scores, and that took a deflection, and sit literally just drop down onto the crossbar.
Yes.
So if that takes even slightly less of a deflection, that's popping over the goalie and going in.
Yeah.
And I mean that like I said, that's the one that I said that would have been goal of the week.
Most definitely. I totally agree with you. Anything you want to see from this game?
I mean, I'm a little torn at what to do in terms of formation because what we did today worked, but that was against Tucson.
I think it goes back to the situational thing. I think you're situational in terms where it's smart. I think if you know, all right, Chattanooga is not a team that's comfortable having teams pass around them, I think you do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you stick with the same lineup. You might put Hughes in instead of Ratzliff, and then Ratzliff to be the sub for Hughes or Maxey. But I think you keep the front four as they were. I think you keep that same
front four. Those front four, they were doing well.
I think you keep Lockerbie. Thompson, I don't know if he's hurt. He looked like a little nick.
Yeah.
I might just be overanalyzing stuff because Thompson's a good guy and he looked like he got hurt.
Yeah.
If there's a game where you're like, all right, we know Chattanooga's not going to get on behind on us like this, I think this is the perfect game to put Chari in at left back.
Yeah.
And tell him, like, hey, look, let's see what you can do at left back. Not like you got to give Troy a trial. Like, we know he can do
it. He can play left back.
Yeah, he can play. I think you put him there, and I think you keep the other part of the back three the same.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with Richmond is I think you pretty much you press up further up the field. And you force him to make the long balls. And you force him to make the stupid pass.
Yeah, make the low percentage passes, the desperate ones.
Yeah. I think that's it. So, I mean, I think that's everything we got. Anything else you want to say?
Did you want to talk about USA or no?
I mean, look, this is all I say about US. Now you're really about to have my Twitter mentions destroyed. Only thing I would say about this is just chill out. I know US soccer, it's been a rough 18 months. Yeah. But maybe I'm just more relaxed with it. I don't want to talk long about it. I'm a Magic fan. I'm a Titans fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm used to rebuilds.
Yeah.
U.S. soccer is a rebuild.
Yeah.
And it's different to rebuild a national team than it is to build a club team because you only see these players so
every
many
once
months
in a while.
So, yes, I know players want to be like, well, I know I've seen a gif of, like, Zach Steffen mess up with the ball on his feet. But it's not like Greg Berhalter can work with him week in, week out about that.
Yeah.
Zach Steffen is also about to go to Man City. There's a reason why Man City paid the money they did for him.
Yeah.
But my thing is just relax. Just chill out. I know it sucks to lose a team like Venezuela and Jamaica.
I mean, they are. Is it though?
They are good teams.
They are.
They are good teams.
And I mean, I know...
this Venezuela team, U-20, won the World Cup. I mean, not won it. They got to the U-20 World Cup not too long ago. And a lot of those players are playing now. And they're playing in MLS soccer and in top leagues in South America. A lot of those Jamaican players are top players in USL and MLS. It's not bad. I know it's like real quick. And also, we got to stop letting the media hype us up about this team.
Yeah. This US we got a team lot of young guys
that are not starting. Time yeah. to... We got a lot of young players that are not starting yet.
We got another 3 years before the next World Cup. And we're hosting. No, we're not hosting. Nah, that was 2026. But
think about it. Like Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Sargent, Tyler Adams, they are still super young.
They are. They're and very think young. Think about
it. By the time the next World Cup hit,
Where's Josh Sargent playing now? Because I know he was...
Werner.
Yes.
But he's not in the starting 18 yet. Like, he's still...
He's still kind of on the reserve level. But
this is the thing. Like, a lot of those players Pulisic by the time the next World Cup hits, they will be at the peak of their powers. Yeah. And it'll be a totally different team. And plus, also, playing a possession system takes time.
It does.
So, like Aaron Rodgers said, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. That's all I gotta say about it. Don't tweet me. Tweet Shanair.
Why tweet me? You don't want to say it.
Because I don't need my Twitter mentions getting blown up before all the hot takes I've said on this podcast. You can check us out. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at RiverCity93. You can also listen to us on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor FM, and of course the Beautiful Game Network. You can go to the Beautiful Game Network and get a host of USL Championship, MSL, Premier League, and USL League One podcasts. We also want to say thank you to our sponsor, Golden Gold Press, the best choice for you and your custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or your organization. Check them out and their amazing products for a fraction of the price at goldengoldpress.com. Also, we want to say thank you to Roughneck Scarves, original scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. You can get custom scarves for yourself or group at roughneckscarves.com. And with that being said, I won't be in the game. I'm pretty sure Chanel will be, so...
Yeah, I'll be there.
We'll be there. He'll be there. You can catch us next time. Keep it a good set, guys.